Right-wing media personalities often like to throw around the phrase the liberal media as a pejorative, but to Brooklyn Rail editor and Metropolitan College of New York associate professor Theodore Ham, there's little negative about the phrase. His latest book is called The New Blue Media, How Michael Moore, MoveOn.org, John Stewart and Company Are Transforming Transgressive Politics. It's published by the New Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings Professor Ham to the show today. Hello.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's actually progressive politics, not transgressive politics, but...
Did I say transforming trans?
No, I said I suppose for some it would be transgressive. But
boy, that was a Freudian slip if I made it. Other than the people you've named in your title, who do you see as the leading figures in what you call the new blue media?
Well, I guess the liberal bloggers led by the Daily Kos, the folks at MoveOn.org, who's in the title, Stephen Colbert, and I guess Keith Olbermann is now a new incarnation.
Well, he barely gets a mention in the book. That's because he's just so recent?
Well, yeah, I mean, I see him in the book. I see him as an outgrowth of Michael Moore's didactic style that I'm calling, and also John Stewart's sort of cheeky self-knowing style.
Well, there's a wide range of people here and a wide range of styles, even though they tend to agree on most issues.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm trying to do in the book is break it down and talk about three different styles. I characterize it as the satirical outlets, which are The Onion, The Daily Show, and Colbert. The didactic wing, which is Michael Moore and Air America. And also the activist front, which is the Netroots or Move On and the liberal bloggers. And basically, as most people have analyzed the Obama campaign, most people would say that the liberal bloggers and the Netroots in general, without them, Obama would not have defeated Hillary Clinton. In fact, Hillary Clinton admitted as much.
Because she didn't use the internet as well?
She didn't use the internet.
Or she didn't excite the people who were using the internet well.
Well, what I show in the book is that the internet is not only a new medium of politics, but also carries with it a strong message, or at least the activists in the Netroots, that they all along have been very strongly opposed to the war. And Hillary was not, of course, opposed to the war, and that sort of put her at odds with the Netroots, or which is also synonymous in some ways with the activist base of the party, or at least the new activist base of the Democratic Party.
And people were surprised when this whole thing developed with Howard Dean. Before Howard Dean, nobody even seemed to be mentioning the internet as a way of, as a part of the political media.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, especially in terms of the Netroots or Move On and the bloggers, they sort of came of age in the Howard Dean campaign. Then they went over to Kerry. When Kerry lost in 2004, the first effort that Move On and bloggers made was to try and install Howard Dean as chair of the Democratic National Committee, and they were successful in that. And one of Howard Dean's main innovations, of course, was to implement the 50-state strategy to make the Democrats compete in all 50 states, and now Obama has actually followed through on that in the primaries, and he will do so again in the general election.
Although the activists on the left seem to have some serious problems with John Kerry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, well, they
They just hated George Bush more.
That was it. I mean, in some ways, the book, a defining moment when these new outlets came together was in 2004. In January of 2004, Move On brought together Michael Moore, Al Franken, and a number of other celebrities at an event at the Hammerstein Ballroom, where it was basically they were launching the Anybody But Bush campaign of 2004, which became the John Kerry campaign. And in my view, as I show in the book, John Kerry would not have even had a chance in 2004 if the activist base was not mobilized by these outlets on his behalf, because he was never able to define a clear position on the war.
Well, how much power can we actually give these people? For example, they were solidly behind Ned Lamont and his attempt to rid Connecticut and the United States of Senator Joe Lieberman. Lamont won the Democratic primary, but then lost very big in the general election.
Well, yes, that's true. But what I show in the book is that that campaign set the stage for the Democrats' success in the 2006 general election. So even though Lamont lost, first Lamont won the primary using the Iraq War as his main issue, or Lieberman's support for the Iraq War. And then Lieberman, of course, ran as an independent, defeated Lamont in the general election. But in that general election, the defining issue for the Democrats and their success in that year was Iraq. And so that's what propelled Jim Webb and John Tester and many others.
Is there a learning curve here? For example, in the past, let's say 10 or 15 years ago, with Rush Limbaugh and others riding high on talk radio, liberals complained that they couldn't really get any slots, and the programmers said, well, they attracted fewer listeners than the conservatives, and that's why they didn't put them on the air. Are we seeing liberals figuring it out? Because Air America has also pretty much been a flop. Was that another part of this learning curve?
Sure. I mean, Air America's original the original Air America's problems had a lot to do with its business model of trying to become a national network straight off
and paying huge salaries to people in a startup.
24/7 programming. I mean, basically, if they had started with some syndicated programs, they may have been able to build a network from there. And the success of Heartland populist Ed Schultz. He's gaining some success in the syndicated model. In general, the right has maintained control over talk radio, but now you're beginning to see in television with Stewart, Colbert, Olbermann, and so on that there is some success for left-leaning or liberal commentators who are beginning to make some inroads.
Well, the difference is that they're not imitating Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, and it's many people were critical of Air America and some other similar attempts because they were just using the same rhetorical devices and spending so much time criticizing the right-wingers that it sounded like they didn't have any agenda of their own, just simply were being reactive. It was like an ad for Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly every time you went on and said, well, they're lying about this.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, that's why I characterize it as the didactic wing of the new blue media. And so there's an element to which some of these ideas get monotonous and don't really play out that well in this format. I mean, one of the reasons satire can be effective is, if you look at the examples of Michael Moore and Al Franken both trying to take down Bill O'Reilly, neither of them was terribly successful at it ultimately. But now Stephen Colbert, playing the faux Bill O'Reilly, has actually managed to become much more effective.
Where do the Pacifica stations fit into all of this? Do they represent a different version of the left?
Yeah, I think I don't want to characterize that as old blue media, but it is older style progressive media. I mean, where what's new about at least the satirical outlets and even Michael Moore, I don't know, is that they are producing entertaining political discussion. I mean, which isn't to say that there isn't a place for serious political discussion, but it's also one of the innovations that these new outlets have managed to be successful with is the fact that they are entertaining and informative at the same time.
So Pacifica is closer to the new left of the 1960s, and now we're talking about a new left of the 21st century.
I think that's safe to say, yes.
Although a lot of the people we're talking about actually got their starts during the Clinton administration, and some were quite critical of the Clinton administration. Just before you answer that, my guest is Theodore Ham. He's written a book called The New Blue Media, How Michael Moore, MoveOn.org, John Stewart and Company are transforming progressive politics. It is published by the New Press.
Thank you. Well, yes, certainly many of these outlets or figures, particularly Michael Moore, The Onion, even John Stewart, originated in the Clinton era, but they really have and Al Franken, of course, but they've begun to flourish in during the Bush years. I mean, I think a lot of that simply has to do with the fact that the Bush administration appeared to many of us on the left as completely out of control, and the fact that the Democrats were pretty weak-kneed in their opposition. It was a pretty ineffective party of opposition that we saw during the Bush years. And so many people got mobilized on that to try and confront the Bush administration. And that's what led to the sort of coming together in 2004 around Kerry and then the successes they've had since.
In 2007, MoveOn.org ran an ad calling General Petraeus General Betrayus. And that was condemned on the floor of the U.S. Senate by conservative and by conservative media figures to the point where John Kerry, despite having been swift-voted, condemned the ad.
Sure. I mean, I think that in some ways shows the difference in the different degree to which the new blue media has a foothold in the Democratic Party, as opposed to the Limbaugh right-wing crowd and their relationship to the Republican Party. Because at the same time as Kerry and company were condemning the Petraeus ad, the House passed a resolution in support of Rush Limbaugh, even though he was attacking soldiers who were opposing the war at the same time. So that, you know, the new blue media has begun to make its inroads, and certainly in the case of their success with Obama, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with down the line, but they're not quite yet as firmly entrenched.
Well, things have been changing. After 9/11, Bill Maher, who was a fairly conservative voice at the time, wound up being dumped from ABC because of some statements that he made. Today, I don't think anybody would lose a job for that.
Right, and Donahue would be another example, I guess, as well. Sure. I mean, I think there's a degree to which there's a populist market out there, or a left leaning audience that's receptive to the ideas that are put forth in some of these outlets, and so major corporations, media corporations, are going to try and reach that market to some degree. I mean, there's always the question of how much, you know, how radical can they become. But for now, they seem to have gained this prominent presence.
Well, the mood of the country seems to have changed. You don't see letters to the editor in newspapers today complaining about Bush bashing anymore. But they were very common complaints in the past.
Sure. Well, his popularity rating is so low that at this point, I think people are just, you know, certainly ready for a change. And Obama has been able to tap into that and particularly developed a very strong relationship with the Netroots component. And because of his stance against the war, he would not have had as I show in the book, he would not have had a strong relationship with those new activists if he had not opposed the war.
It's been claimed that The Onion actually got the narrative of the Bush administration better than the mainstream media.
Well, I make that claim in the book. I don't know. Well, and I try to illustrate that. I mean, certainly.
You make the claim that The Onion got it better. Why The Onion and not other humor magazines of the past? Like, I mean, the National Lampoon isn't with us anymore, Spy, but I suspect they would not have been as on target.
Well, I mean, The Onion was consciously, or continues to consciously mimic the style of mainstream media. It has the USA Today format and the Associated Press style.
So they go after the Democrats as well as the Republicans.
They certainly do, but I mean, obviously, since Bush has been in power for the last 8 years, they've been going after him.